welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name's Kerry Stevenson, and delighted today that I'm talking to the founder and director of Shri Minerals. Now, Shri Minerals is, they have some projects, iron, gold, and base metals. But I want to give you just a very quick background of Sanjay, because he is the founding, was the founding CEO of Aditya Birla, which, if you remember, got the nifty copper mine listed on the ASX. He's had a lot of experience in the mining sector here in Australia. He is now, as I said, the founder of Shri Minerals, ASX code SHH. Welcome to Small Caps, Sanjay. Lovely to see you. Let's talk about, you've been very busy over these past few months. Let's talk a little bit about Shri Minerals, starting with your founding project, which was the Nelson Bay Iron Project in Tasmania.
Thank you, Kerry. Thank you for having us. Yeah, Nelson Bay was really the project which we started when we founded the company back in 2008. We listed the company in 2010, and the resource was actually also discovered in 2010. We very quickly got the mine into production in 2013. So, you know, that was really a very fast track achievement for us. Unfortunately, we had to put the mine into care and maintenance back in 2014 when the iron ore prices crashed. Now, iron ore prices have come back in the last 2 years since the second half of 2018. They are at a place where, you know, the mine would be quite profitable. And we have started the process in 2018. We applied for re-permitting of the mine, which had to be done. Now, re-permitting almost involves doing it afresh, so it's a long process. We are almost coming towards the end of that process. The DPEMP is near finalization. The draft was submitted to EPA, and we are working with them to address all the comments, and some further work which was identified is in progress. And we hope we'll be able to complete the DPEMP to the satisfaction of the government by end of this year. And once EPA are happy with that, they'll put it up for public comment and then do the final assessment. So hopefully in the next 6 to 8 months, you know, we should have it completed and have the approval. That's what we would be targeting for, which would pave the way for recommencement of the mine. Now, the mine is fully developed. It's a proven operation. We have made 5 shipments of iron ore from there. So it's ready to go at short notice. It was a fully contractor operation on a mobile basis. So it will be the question of mobilizing the mobile gear from the mobile crushing and screening plant, and putting the contracts for the port access and the haulage to the port. So yeah, once we get the approval, then the board would reconsider a decision. And once the decision is taken, these steps would need to be done. Now, one thing I would like to also mention about Nelson Bay River is that the product is the direct shipping ore, and it's a very good product in the sense that the impurities are very low. The alumina is very low. In fact, the indices like the Platts published for 58, they published 2 indices, the normal 58 and there's a 58 low alumina. So we are one of the very few 58% grade irons which have a very low alumina. So the product is very well received. About 40% of the product used to be about lump, which also gets a premium. So we get a premium for being low alumina. We get a premium for lumps. So while there is a discount for 58% as compared to the normal 62% that you read in the paper as the iron ore headline price, but because we get this premium for low impurity and lump, net, our price comes close to the headline prices. So at today's prices, of course, the profit margin would be very high, and we would hope that, you know, this thing can be brought into production very quickly, back into production, and can start producing some good cash flows for the benefit of our shareholders.
Well, you've done it before, and it was only due to the iron ore price, which, as you just alluded to, the iron ore price is strong. You've got a it's a very high purity product. So in terms of when you're going to go ahead, it's probably early next year. That's very, very quick. It's a turnaround project, really.
Yeah, we would hope that we get the permit by early next year. That process would take, as I said, 6 to 8 months. And that would form the basis for us to consider a recommencement decision. And then it will be a question of mobilizing the, you know, various contractors and other things. So sometime next year, we could be in production if everything lines up perfectly.
Well, you haven't rested on your laurels just with Nelson Bay, have you? Because the reason we're speaking today is Sri Minerals. You haven't been sitting back and just idly standing by. You've got some projects. I want to cover some of them off today, starting with you've got the Arunta joint venture project up in the Northern Territory. Could you just explain to our listeners what that's all about and how you see that as adding value to your shareholders in the near future?
Thank you, Kerry. As you rightly mentioned, we identified that we wanted to diversify to, you know, create shareholder value. And it's all about risk management. You know, you want to have more projects. And our background, of course, is very strong in base metals. So base metal and precious metals are broadly in the same family. And we identified a couple of years back that gold is the sector we would like to be in, along with copper. And so as far as gold is concerned, we started looking for opportunities. And this Arunta joint venture that you just mentioned, this was an opportunity we got just only recently, 2 months back. It was with a private group, Territory Minerals. They have three tenements there. They're very highly prospective in the Arunta area. There's the Edward Creek, the Box Hole, and the Bruce Gold project. So these are the three projects. Now, Edwards Creek there's been very little exploration done. Back in 1980s, there was identified a prominent siliceous Gossan Hill was found, and there was an electromagnetic conductor, very strong electromagnetic conductor was found on that back of that, you know, outcrop siliceous hill Gossan. And then there was a geological mapping, which identified a syncline folding in the area, which has got potential for mineralization along the prospective stratigraphic horizon, and it's got several occurrences of copper, lead, zinc. There was some limited drilling also done back in those 80s when this was done. And we have some very good, intersections up to 2.5% copper, along with 0.7% lead from the drilling. But the drilling has been very limited. And we believe that the source of the strong conductor at Edward Creek is not adequately explained because the Gossan remains open at dip and along strike. And so the project requires some further assessment of the electromagnetic surveys using modern filtering techniques. So we might use the same old geophysical work, but use the modern work. And we might, if once we do that, then we might need to do some further fresh geophysical work to identify the drilling targets. Now, just in the neighborhood, literally hundreds from there is this Jervois, Johnny's Reward and Jervois Copper also in the neighborhood. So I think it's in a very good location and the prospectivity is very good. So we are very excited about this Edwards Creek project. We are waiting. It is actually under application at this stage. So we are waiting for the grant of the tenement, which should be done in the next few months. And then we will do the exploration. In the meanwhile, we are doing some desktop work as much as we can with the field of past historical work to identify this. The second project is...
Sanjay, can I just stop you there? Can I just ask on behalf of our listeners, what is the joint venture? How does that work? Is it Sri Minerals need to put a certain amount of money in? What's the structure of the joint venture?
The joint venture is a typical farming joint venture. Currently, we have to spend $50,000 to start the we have the option to spend that money to start the joint venture. And once we do that, then, you know, it becomes a traditional farming joint venture where we spend money. As we do the exploration, we will be the managers and managing the project. And as we spend the money, then we would start earning the share in the joint venture. So by spending just under $500,000, we would get to about 90% share in the joint venture. And if once we reach 90%, then we have the right to, you know, buy out the balance via royalties. So Shri Minerals has got the tenure by way of farming joint venture, where it could, as it spends the work on the ground and does the exploration and progresses it, it can earn the full ownership of the projects.
Well, that's and there were three. There's Boxhall, there's Edwards Creek, and
And there is Bruce Gold project. So I went in detail about Edwards Creek. The Boxhall project, well, basically that project, you know, it's a large tonnage carbonate hosted lead zinc deposit, Mississippi style valley type deposit. It's got a large IP survey done historically. And it's centered around King's Working that was mined in the 1960s, hand mined some 15 odd tons of material was mined with very high lead and zinc and some gold grade as well. So what we plan to do is, you know, look into that past IP work, reinterpret it, and then if required, follow it up with further work. And look at that Gossan extends over about 6 kilometers. So it's a very prospective ground. The IP work is there, and there's really not much of drilling, etc. at all in that area. So there's very little exploration. So I think that opens up a very good exploration prospectivity at Boxhole Prospect. The third prospect there is a Bruce Gold Prospect. Historically, people were not looking for gold and base metals, but rock chip sampling historically has thrown up very high grade rock chips up to 53 grams per ton of gold. So, and but people were looking at some soil sampling, which was not the best way as for modern techniques. So, once the tenement we plan to do is do some field reconnaissance work, do some rock chip sampling, do some mapping around and reconnaissance and see where are those outcrops and gossans, do some rock chip, and then follow it up with modern exploration at Bruce Gold Prospect.
And when do you see some of this? Have you got some people on the ground up there now? Where are you at with this joint venture arrangement right now?
Two projects, the Edward Creeks and Boxhole, are under application. So we're waiting for the grant of application. Bruce Gold is a granted tenement. So there some work is planned to start very shortly.
Great. All right. So that's it. Because we've got a lot to get through. You guys, as I say, you've been busy. Let's go on to the Fraser Albany Belt, which obviously has had some very good results for other people. So let's talk about what you're doing up in that area.
Fraser Dundas is, we pegged two exploration licenses only recently in July. So these are applications. These new tenements are located in major structural containing, you know, world-class deposits of gold, prospective mafic rocks and untested geochemical anomalies adjacent to these major structures in an underexplored region. In the Albany Fraser Belt. It is, you know, considered to be situated within an inferred southeast extension of the Norseman Wiluna Belt. There's a major northwest trending fault system that transects the tenements and may represent southeast extension of the prolifically mineralized Zuleika and Golder Lefroy fault systems. Only very limited historical exploration has been done in the area due to thin blanket, about 5 to 10 meters of transported cover. 1 kilometer spaced auger soil traverses were done and some localized RAB drilling. This was back in the 1980s and 1990. And intersections include up to 3.5 grams per ton of gold. So the mineralization remain open, associated with gold and copper. Geochemistry suggests that mineralization is much more extensive. So yeah, very limited exploration has been done, but what has done shows a very high prospectivity. So that's the first tenement, which is E632046. And immediately adjacent south of that is E632048, where only historical work is done is some soil chemistry and some aeromag. And there are some very large and robust gold in those soil geochemical anomalies, up to 6 kilometers in length, and spatially associated with the interpreted Boulder Lefroy zone structurally. So we have a aeromag anomaly coincident with a soil anomaly, and which has not been tested. So yeah, as soon as those grounds are granted, we plan to go and do an infill of that, because the current soil sampling is 1 kilometer space. It's too wide.
Yeah.
We plan to do infill soil sampling with powered auger, geochemical targets to refine and prioritize the targets, interpretation of detailed magnetics. So maybe we might need to do some further low-level aeromag surveys. We might do some ground IP work to finalize the targets, and then that would give us drilling targets. So yeah, the Fraser Dundas, both the projects, yeah, they are very prospective for some very significant large deposits.
How did Shree Minerals come across these ones? Because, you know, I think you said 3.5 grams per ton gold is the indication. Why were they not picked up before? I mean, there's been nothing done in this area for decades.
I would know why historically. I think, you know, this was an area which has not been historically looked at. As I said, it's only in recent times that Fraser Albany belt has really opened up and people have started looking at, and there have been some very good successes in the area as well. So I think we've been very fortunate to get a ground of, you know, this level of prospectivity. And yeah, we're very excited. I think that sets up us and our shareholders for some very exciting times in the exploration of both gold and precious metal in a very, very exciting area, which has been underexplored.
Well, we haven't finished yet, because before we go, I let you go, I want to talk about the Lachlan Fold Belt, because you're busy there as well. So we're coming full circle back to New South Wales. You've managed to pick up some ground there as well. Where are you at with those particular?
Yeah, we were very fortunate to identify and peg area in the Eastern Lachlan Fold. Now, as you know, the Eastern Lachlan Fold is a very, very prospective area. It has got a long history of mineral production of gold and copper. We have got some world-class deposits, Lake Cowell of Evolution Mining, Cadia operations of Newcrest, Alkynes Tomingley Gold Mine, North Park's Copper Mine. So yeah, all within the radius of 100, 150 kilometers, we have all these world-class deposits. Now, the ground that we have within 15 kilometers north of that, pure alumina, formerly Hill End Gold, just got a mineral resource defined in recent years of over 500,000 ounces of gold. Adjacent to our tenement, just north and east, are, you know, the ground, two tenements, one held by Karrakatta Resources and the other one by Alkane. Now, the ground of Karrakatta Resources, they have got quartz rich and battery resource. And those prospects are interpreted to structurally strike onto our grounds. So following grant, in our ground, there are 9 gold occurrences. And so these gold occurrences have been identified by shallow workings in area of alluvial mining that have had no modern exploration techniques. There have been some stream sediments sampling. So currently, while we are waiting for the grant of tenements, we are doing desktop research, and we are seeing some very exciting results from that. We are compiling all that. And once it is granted, then we will go and do some further on-ground soil sampling, field reconnaissance, and further geophysical work as well to identify drilling targets. And Lachlan Fold is a very, very prospective, and I think we are very excited about having ground in such a prospective area. And just adjacent to us, those grounds have had success. That gives us further encouragement. So I think, you know, the company is set up for some very exciting times ahead.
Well, Sanjay, you have been busy. I just we're running out of time, so I just want to ask you very quickly, what can investors look for? So we've covered all the pretty much. There's another one. There's Golden Chimney, I think, as well. But there's a lot you've got going on. What should investors start to look for in the coming months from Shri Minerals? There's a lot going on.
In the coming months, obviously, we are very excited with all this exploration ground that we have assembled in recent times. So we would be progressing our desktop work and planning of exploration while we are waiting for grant of these exploration licenses. We will do some limited field work in the tenements that are already granted. And so, you know, in the next 6 months, we would be hoping for grant of the licenses and kicking off the exploration work. But in the meanwhile, we'll be completing desktop research, and investors can look forward to results of those, which we are finding very encouraging. At Nelson Bay, we would be progressing with the development application and hoping that that process gets completed, so which will facilitate a basis where the board can consider a recommencement decision. And with the current iron ore prices in a very strong area, which we expect should remain relatively robust, yeah, there might be some volatility, but I think they will overall remain robust enough for us to, you know, make cash flows, so we can have some immediate cash flows also in the short term.
That's exactly what I was going to say, because Nelson Bay is going to get, like, for shareholders, that bringing that back into production again quickly will give you some cash flow and will completely, I guess, change the company going forward.
We would sincerely hope so. We are hoping and targeting to get that process completed as soon as possible.
Lots going on with Shri Minerals, as I said before, ASX code SHH. Sanjay Loyoka, founder and director of Shri Minerals, thank you so much for joining us on Small Caps today.
Thank you, Kerry. Thank you for having us.